So, Heavenly Father, our prayer is the same as the disciples, that you would teach us how to pray. Amen. Let me do a quick little survey. Hands up, how many of you have ever pulled into the church car park or any other car park or busy town centre and prayed, let there be a space left? Or be honest. My mum prays those prayers all the time. What about, have you ever tuned in to watch your favourite team and thought, please let them win? Hands up. Hands up who will be thinking and praying if there's a penalty shootout this afternoon. Please let it go in. Or please let them miss. Or perhaps set off on a journey and thought, please let us get there safely. I do that. What about something more serious? Anyone ever prayed that you'd get that job or that someone you love would get better? Sometimes hard prayers, aren't they? Or maybe just watched the news and thought, please just make all this fighting stop. That's a big one, isn't it? These are all examples of prayer, although maybe we don't always think of them, some of them, like that. According to research, around 1 in 5 adults pray. That's a lot of people. Sometimes it's in a place like a church. Sometimes, apparently, it's most often when we go to bed. We still have that habit. Perhaps we were taught to say our prayers before we went to bed. But most often, apparently, we're likely to pray when cooking. You would be if you're about to eat what I was cooking, that's for sure. Travelling or exercising. Oh, God, let this be over. But we're split about 50-50 as to whether we actually think that there is anybody there to hear our prayers. And we were thinking about prayer a little bit last week at St. Mary's a few weeks ago when Jesus sent out 72 of his followers to the surrounding villages, and he tells them, amongst other things, to heal the sick. And we were admitting that that's quite a hard thing to pray for sometimes. And now we hear of Jesus' disciples asking him to teach them to pray. Now, maybe they should have asked him that perhaps before he sent them out to all the villages, but better late than never. It's never too late to learn about prayer, but it's never too early either. So it's a really important part of our journey of faith, that journey that Theo and Amelia have started. So I really hope that they'll be learning to pray as they grow up. I think sometimes we can make it seem much more complicated than it really is. But did you notice how simple Jesus kept it? Simple, yes, but at the same time, pretty deep. So Jesus says, when you pray, pray. Father. I need to turn this on. Or sometimes it says, Father in heaven. So Jesus' very first lesson about prayer is that it's about a relationship. When we're baptized and we decide to start that life journey with Jesus, we become children of God. And we can know that really close and special relationship with him. And we can talk to him just like any child should be able to talk to their parent. That's how our relationship with God develops. Whatever our relationship is with our earthly parents, God invites us into a close and loving relationship. And as our Heavenly Father, he is ever-present, loving, and trustworthy. Nothing that we could want to say to him is too small or insignificant. But he's also our Father in heaven, the Father of all creation, beyond the scope of this world, beyond our highest thoughts or understanding. So nothing is too big for him either. Whatever it is, big or small, we can bring it to him in prayer. So that's who we're praying to. And then Jesus also teaches us how we should come to God in our prayers. What sort of attitude should we come with? Father, hallowed be your name. In other words, that means, Father, you are holy. There is none like you. Father, you are to be worshipped and glorified. You deserve the highest place. And that really kind of sets the perspective right, doesn't it? It puts God in his rightful place and kind of us in ours. It means that we have to come to prayer with perhaps a good dose of humility. We can't sort of second guess how God should answer our prayers or come with a long list of demands. There was once a phrase which I kind of quite related to at one point, which is, I want to serve God in an advisory capacity. So, God, this is how I think you should be working in the world. But we can't come in that attitude. When Jesus teaches us to pray, your kingdom come, he's asking us to pray that what God wants will come before what we want. It means understanding that God just might have a bigger picture than we do, and that we might not have all the answers. And then Jesus gives some of the things, he teaches his disciples some of the things that they can pray for their needs, for forgiveness, and for help. Apparently, a personal crisis or tragedy is the most common reason for praying for most sort of non-religious people. And most people would say that they pray for family and friends, whilst perhaps fewer say that they pray about global issues such as poverty or disasters. And I think Jesus would say those are all good things to pray about. But when he teaches his disciples to pray for their daily bread, he's saying it's okay to pray for the things that we need, the really important things that we need. And the challenge for us might be to think about what are the things we really need as opposed to just the things we might really want. That's quite a tricky question, isn't it? Jesus then teaches his disciples to pray for forgiveness. And we've already been reminding ourselves how God offers in baptism that we have that clean start, that fresh start. And that's what Jesus made possible when he died on the cross. And that forgiveness is available for Theo and Emilia, not just today, but every day throughout their whole lives. They only have to ask. We only have to ask. But importantly, did you notice Jesus throws in another lesson about what sort of attitude we should come with when we come to prayer? We need to have an attitude of mercy towards others. Jesus seems to make a link between forgiving and being forgiven that is quite a sort of tough ask, isn't it? But as we understand how much we've been forgiven, that should show itself in us being merciful towards others. We need to make sure and pray that holding on to things like bitterness and unforgiveness doesn't mean that we harden our hearts towards God and make it hard to receive his forgiveness ourselves. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray that they wouldn't be led into temptation, or in other words, the time of trial or testing. And some versions add that we might be delivered from evil. So he's teaching them that it's good to pray for help and guidance in difficult times. In fact, we should definitely do that as a first resort and not as a last resort, which is often how we come to it. When all else has failed, pray. Jesus seems to be saying, no. Pray right from the get-go for God's help in dealing with life's difficult circumstances. It's okay as well to ask to be spared times of suffering. Even Jesus himself did that in the Garden of Gethsemane just before the crucifixion. So he's teaching his followers it's definitely okay. It's good to pray for protection from evil. And then Jesus comes with this kind of strange little story about the man pestering his neighbour for bread in the middle of the night. And again, this is another lesson about our attitude towards prayer. We've talked about that we must come with humility, be humble, that we should come with a merciful attitude towards others. And now Jesus seems to be saying, be persistent, stick at it. And I don't think that's because God won't answer otherwise, and I don't think it's because he doesn't know what we need. I think it's because being bold and persistent in prayer, it does something to us. If we dare to ask and to keep asking, it shapes us, it challenges us, it grows us. I think God always answers prayer. His answer is sometimes yes, it's sometimes no. It's very often wait, and we need that persistence. And then Jesus ends up by telling his disciples about the prayer that God always loves to answer when we ask for the gift of his Holy Spirit. When I remembered to pray over the water, I prayed that those who are baptized in it would be filled with the Father's Spirit, so that they may know that they are loved as his children. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he helps us to pray and will guide our prayers if we ask him. So I pray that not just Theo and Amelia would, but all of us would know that gift of the Holy Spirit, and that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus even today will keep and be keeping on teaching us to pray, just as he did for his first disciples. Amen.